Welcome to Your True North, a program that explores how values act as a compass, directing our lives and work. Inspiring guests tell how key events and influential figures shaped their values and how they've used those values to create a life rich in meaning, accomplishments, and personal satisfaction. Your True North is hosted by Cindy Camp. Are you seeking your true north? Then welcome.
Today, I have the privilege of talking with three guests who are all involved with a new national movement of Catholic sisters and spiritually diverse millennials called Nuns and Nuns. They are Sister Barbara Hansen, Katie Gordon, and Ellie Hutchison. Barbara Hansen has been a Dominican sister for 62 years. She served as an Aquinas College faculty member and administrator, a parish minister, TV producer, and an outreach coordinator. She's now retired. Ellie Hutchison serves as the co-facilitator of Sisters and Seekers, a local gathering of the National Nuns and Nuns Movement, where she partners with religiously diverse millennials and the Dominican Sisters of Grand Rapids to build intergenerational spiritual community. Katie Gordon is a graduate student at Harvard Divinity School. She's one of the national organizers of Nuns and Nuns. Katie is also working with the How We Gather team at the On Being podcast Impact Lab as an intern. It's a great pleasure to welcome all three of you here today. I also wanted to ask each of you about role models or personal heroes. Who do you find or look to for inspiration?
Well, I think I've sort of indicated my parents certainly would be the first heroes in my life and the first models. I have so many Grand Rapids Dominican sisters that fit that category. The four that are so have been and are so active in social justice activities, especially as regards nuclear weapons, Sister Carol Gilbert, Sister Ardith Plattis, two deceased, Sister Helen LaValle and Sister Jackie Hutchison, who were willing, have been willing to go to jail, to go to prison, to serve prison times in resistance, not civil disobedience, but in resistance. To see that kind of dedication certainly inspires me. As a young person, I read about Gandhi's life. I read about Martin Luther King's life. When you're raised Catholics, you know a lot about saints and men and women and young people who've lived very virtuous lives. Sometimes they're written up with a lot of hagiography that you might question, but in this day and age, they're being written up much more realistic, and you see both their faults and their virtue. But I don't know what I'd do without those models. And actually, any sister I've lived with has been a model, and I've lived with many.
You mentioned Sister Ardith Plattis and Sister Carol Gilbert, and I crossed paths with them last year. I was teaching a class on civil resistance and had them come speak to my students, and I introduced them that night. I had a family member who said to me, so when you're teaching about civil resistance, do the students ask you if you've been arrested, if you spent time in prison? He said, you know, do you have street cred? And I don't have that kind of street cred, but I introduced Sister Carol and Sister Ardith and said, here are ladies with real street cred. They both are convicted felons who have put their principles at the center of their lives and been willing to serve time in prison. And so I find them also to be really inspiring examples in the world.
I was privileged to be able to live for only a month, but I lived out at Jonah House with that community, and it was very, very wonderful.
And Jonah House is in Baltimore?
It was in Baltimore. Yeah.
Great. Ellie or Katie? Well,
I have a similar answer to Sister Barbara, so I can go next. When I think of my personal heroes and people that I admire, people that I want to model my life after, it's every sister I've ever met, basically. They're such unsung heroes of so many different organizing efforts. And Sister Barbara was just talking about the nuclear weapon sort of protests that have been going on for many years, led largely by sisters. And I am very biased towards the Dominican sisters in Grand Rapids, of course, but to shout out to a couple other sisters that have really inspired me lately. They're two Benedictine sisters from Erie, Pennsylvania, Joan Chittister and Mary Lou Kownacki, who are both really incredible, beautiful writers. Joan has written, Sister Joan Shuster has written dozens of books on the future of religious life, and really has been naming this really transitional, transformational moment that it feels like religious life and spiritual life is in right now and in time, and has been naming the trend and I think naming the possibilities as well. And so I've really been inspired by her writing. And Mary Lou, as someone with a lot of street cred as well, I would say, she's been a journalist, she's a poet. She helped run a national organization committed to social justice in the Benedictine tradition. And now she's helping lead this effort with their community called Monasteries of the Heart and Bennett Vision, which is really looking to translate monastic values for contemporary seekers. And so there's just so much creativity in both of them and how they're approaching their own religious life as Benedictine sisters and how they're really bringing different communities into the conversation. And so those two sisters and their whole community of Erie Benedictine sisters are really amazing models for us all to learn from.
Yeah, that's great. It's so nice to hear about people who've walked this path all their lives. Ellie, I don't know if you want to add anything?
I was also going to say that of all of the sisters I've ever met are incredible examples to me of what it means to live faithfully, to be steadfast and committed to a particular community, a tradition, while also being located often on the margins of society and walking alongside those who've historically been marginalized, of holding both radical justice and commitment to a tradition that goes back hundreds and even a thousand years. I think some of the people who have been most inspiring to me are not, you know, the names that we all know and that we hold up, who have certainly lived very inspiring public lives, but people like the sisters, like other women in my community who are just daily working towards a more just and beautiful world where all people can flourish. And I think it's in those daily realities, those who, you know, we don't know their names and we won't often remember them. But I love those daily examples.
Is there any particular issue that you see people working on that you're excited about or moved by?
Oh, so many. There's so many people present, I think, in various social justice movements. I think here in Grand Rapids, one of my friends, Kendra, comes to mind. She's part of our Nuns and Nuns community in Grand Rapids, and she works for 311 Youth Housing, an organization addressing youth homelessness. And it's a really small organization. It's just a band of people trying to make an impact on one youth who's experiencing homelessness at a time. And she, while she's doing that work, she's also, I've witnessed her incredible inner work of how to be true to who she is and how she's, you know, located at the intersection of multiple identities and how to live that out in a way that honors who she is and who she is in our community while also moving us forward collectively. So
I was privileged to have lunch with Kendra today at her house.
Oh, well, that's lovely. That's a real small world, right? Let's just pause again for a brief moment. I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Your True North. Today I'm talking with Sister Barbara Hansen, Ellie Hutchison, and Katie Gordon, who are all involved with the Nuns and Nuns National Movement and the local chapters, Sisters and Seekers, here in Grand Rapids. Let me ask each of you, at this stage of your life, I'm wondering if there are mysteries left that you are still really finding yourself pondering, especially you, Barbara, Sister Barbara, because I know, you know, you've had many decades of working as a Dominican sister, but I'm wondering what you're still trying to make sense of.
God.
For a start. Okay.
And that's supposed to be a mystery, I recognize. Why women don't give themselves credit for how great they are. Why white privilege is so predominant, and how are we ever going to break it down? But mystery is wonderful. Mystery gets you up in the morning, and mystery keeps you knowing that there's more than meets the eye. And so I don't know if I could live without it. But the God mystery is just, it's a perennial. I mean, it's just there. It's and yet, I think I've given my life to it, but there's still so much me involved. And so anyway, it's just, it's a struggle, and it's a challenge, and it makes life worthwhile.
I love that point of view that you don't necessarily want to have it all figured out, that it gets you up in the morning, not knowing, you know, what comes next, or having everything sort of be understandable.
How boring.
Well, right. Yes. Yes. Ellie, what about you?
Yeah, I would say everything is a mystery. Though I'm only 25, the older I get, it seems like the more mysteries that unfold and the less certainty there is. I become more certain of things like love is the foundation of all reality, that unity is the nature of reality, things like that. But the biggest questions of God and the divine, you know, universe, and these are questions that just continue to expand over time. And actually, my involvement with Nuns and Nuns has been really a meaningful affirmation that mystery is beautiful and good, and to seek and to ask questions and to doubt is actually a virtuous process, and not an indicator of a failing faith or something to be scared of, but that can actually, our questions can speak to our spiritual health. So I have a lot of questions. There's so much mystery, but I believe it enriches our life and keeps our imaginations alive, and I just feel more and more a deep sense of wonder every day, and I feel extremely blessed by that.
Well, that's a great thought. Katie, what would you cite as something you're still kind of really thinking about and intrigued by?
Yeah, I would echo Ellie and Sister Barbara, all of the above. I very much feel like mystery is at the center of my spiritual life, and you know, there's that Rilke, the poet Rilke, in the quote, "Living the questions." I really, really hope to live my life in a way that I live the questions, so that one day that I may live into the answer. But I certainly am enjoying this question period. I even have, I came across this quote that comes from Augustine in Confessions, where Augustine says, "I have made a question of myself." And I really love that idea of just having that that orientation of wonder and question and mystery. I agree with what Sister Barbara said. It's what gets me up in the morning, and it's what motivates all of the work and searching that I'm embarking on.
Yeah, I had heard the Rilke quote, but not the Augustine quote. So I've made a question of myself is a rich thought. I also want to ask you each about your advice for younger people, especially who are either still in school trying to figure out the career path that they want to pursue, or perhaps, you know, Ellie, someone else who's in their 20s who's now working and trying to make sense of kind of what they've chosen. What advice do you have for younger people who are thinking about career, especially?
When I was academic vice president at Aquinas College, I always had to meet the parents, you know, when they brought their freshmen. And I think I gave the same address, I mean, not the exact same address all those 8 years that I was there, but I always said, don't be surprised if your child doesn't know what they want to be and they change their major 4 times and maybe they don't really know what they want to do until they're a senior. You know, that's a piece of college life. It is exasperating for the parents, and I know it costs a lot of money for that indecision, but really and truly, once you start learning, you just see other avenues that you didn't know about before. And so to block those new avenues, it would be a sin. So that's one piece. So that I think I carry and believe in, and would say to any young person I met. And in fact, I did meet with some college freshmen not too long ago, and I said something of that nature at the table, and one young woman said, "Oh, I'm so glad to hear that," because I think they feel tremendous pressure to know what they want to do.
Yeah,
right
to
away.
Hear to hear that it's good to be curious, mm-hmm. and that it's okay to be indecisive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know there's a lot of pressure for young people to really identify something and pursue that. So it's good to hear that, yes, being being open to other things is part of the process.
I think that's a virtue, too, of being in intergenerational relationships is I hear about sisters like Sister Barbara tell me about their careers and, you know, they were teachers for 20 years and then they were a nurse for 20 years and then they provided pastoral care in a certain parish. And you realize that there's many different paths we can pursue in life and they all end up weaving together. But I think when you're in a position like I am in your 20s, we feel like we have to figure out what that one true calling is, what our one vocation is. But that's just so boring, too. Like, why not pursue our interests and stay curious and open? On the flip side, it can be overwhelming if you're someone who is very curious and interested in a lot of different issues. I find myself in that place. And it's been helpful for me to reflect on, what is my true identity and my true nature? I just read the book Let Your Life Speak by Parker Palmer, and he talks about this and getting in touch with the true self and seeing what careers or vocations or, you know, models for living are in line with that true self and which kind of violate it, and learning to listen to the self and notice what environments do I come alive in and which environments do I shrink in, what feels like I'm grating against who I am as a person, and in what places do I sort of bloom and open up and feel at peace. So that's been something helpful to think about. And I would also encourage young people to identify what are some of those core values, the values we've been talking about, and use them almost as a test against how I'm living. So if I say that I value interdependence, look at how am I living? Am I living by myself? Am I living with roommates? How am I embodying that value in my home life, in my relationships, in my work? And how can I better live into it?
So it sounds like you're saying as much as you can align your career with your values, but certainly trying not to violate any of your values and the career choices that you make.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Katie, what would you add?
Yeah, to build off of what Ellie is saying, to listen to the inner voice is so essential, and it's so difficult. It's such a noisy and busy world we live in, and I've more recently started making much more space in my life for contemplative silence, whether it's on retreats for 10 minutes in the morning or attending Quaker services even to sit in silence in community, has really sort of softened the voices, I think, in my head in a way that I can hear and feel what is that deep calling within me. And it really is necessary to, I think, have to say no to some things in order to say yes to something deeper within you. But that takes a lot of practice to be able to hear the inner voice, or to be able to feel it and feel connected to it. And I've found having an elder in my life who can help me refine that, or a spiritual director, or someone that can, who's been down the road before, to help accompany me in that journey of trying to find my inner voice and then hear it and really listen to it and follow that, is a challenge. But even just in the last few weeks of my life, has really opened up so many possibilities.
All right. Well, then I'd like to ask you a couple of closing questions. I'm wondering if you think into the future, what footprint you'd like to leave on the world. It may be easier. I don't know if it's easier for you, Sister Barbara, to identify that. But just for any of you to think about, you know, really what your aspiration is in terms of a legacy that you leave.
Well, I recognize that I'm closer to leaving one, probably, statistically at least, than
that,
Katie
that may
and Ellie.
Yes.
I would like to know that I've made a difference in just one person's life. And I think I believe that I have and that I will. To go about doing good, I have a quote at the end of my emails, and right now I'm forgetting what it is, but in doing good, let us not grow tired. And actually, it was the inscription that was in a New Testament that I was given when I graduated from the eighth grade. And I don't know where that New Testament is anymore, but I've never forgotten that quote. And so, to know that I've done some good.
Thank you. Katie?
Yeah, there's this lyric from one of my favorite bands, Frightened Rabbit, that comes to mind. In a song called Head Rolls Off, the lyric goes, "And while I'm alive, I'll make tiny changes to Earth." And I think that's sort of an attitude that I have, this idea of the ripple effect of what one person's life can make. And I really hope that, you know, thinking about how lonely so many people are, how disconnected we are from family or from community and from place, I really hope to help people discover their hunger for community, to notice what might be lacking in their lives, and then to help fill that void and to make so many of us feel a little less alone and more connected with one another and with place and with the earth. There's so much healing to happen in so many relationships that we have.
And Ellie.
Yeah, I echo that too. I envision big picture wanting to leave the world a bit more connected and in deep mutual healing relationships with one another. And like Katie mentioned, that can be at the level of our relationship to the earth, to our natural environment, to our physical community, the place that we're rooted in at that moment, our relationship with ourself, a relationship with the divine presence, but to feel more connected, I think the crisis we're facing of isolation and loneliness is just really heavy on my heart. And so for people to have experienced healing in those relationships, to feel more spiritually nourished, and to leave the world a little bit more of a just place where people can be who they fully are and be accepted and welcomed and embraced, and where our diversity is seen as a source of strength and beauty and not a threat.
That's a beautiful thought. I wanted to just ask you as well, any closing thoughts about living a life that's really centered around core values? What would be your final thoughts on that topic?
Well, one of the things I want to say is how much being in touch with Katie and Allie and the millennials has been a great resource to me in terms of, I know they look to us for wisdom perhaps, but what we see in them, and I think every sister that's involved would say this, is so much hope for the future and so much recognition of their deep, deep desire to make the world a better place. And it's very, very encouraging as we come toward to the end of our journeys to see young people stepping out in a new way and asking questions and living into a future that we just can't even imagine. So it gives me great, great hope.
Yeah, it's kind of a handing off of the baton. Even if these other young people are not members of a religious order as such, but are consumed by the same concerns, the same commitments. So I'm sure that is a good feeling to see that in another generation. And for those, Katie and Ellie, I know you're both quite a bit younger and close to the beginning of this journey, especially the path of career. What are your closing thoughts about how you want to really put values somewhere near the center of your life?
I can start. I think for me, something that's so important to stay in line with my values and how I want to live is to keep people close to me who will always point me back to the truth and point me back to my true self and ask critical but encouraging questions. the world in which we live will always pull us towards more individualism, more selfishness, these cultural things that we are trying to counter, and how we do spirituality and how we find community and meaning. So to go against the grain requires support and to be in it together with one another. And so I think I'm just so grateful for the space that Nuns and Nones has been to be that community for me, to allow me to go deeper in the ways that I want to, and to feel a sense of accompaniment that I'm not alone in the questions I'm asking and in trying to live a different way and a bit more of a beautiful way, in my opinion. And I think to always have those differing perspectives, to have input from sisters, to have input from fellow millennials from different faith traditions, just creates for a much more rich and holistic and ever-expanding worldview that is now invaluable to me.
Thank you, Ellie. Katie?
Yeah, when I think of living a life that's centered around a strong set of values, I also think about how can I hold those loosely? How can I be open to continual change and continual growth and continue to challenge myself and sort of define and refine what these values are over time? And I think even more challenging is how to be open to paradox as well. The value of paradox, as hard as it can be sometimes to sort of hold that value, I think that there's a lot of truth once we end up looking at things through that lens. And one of the paradoxes that we sit with in Nuns and Nones as we're building relationships between these two communities and thinking about really big questions like the future of religious life together, it's the paradox that comes to mind. The language comes from Adam Horowitz, who's another organizer, is that we must move at the speed of trust and with the fierce urgency of now. And I think that this is something that we try to embody in our community of Nuns and Nones, is really a relational approach, a value in relationship and building trust, but also knowing how much needs to happen right now in so many ways. And so holding our values in a way that can allow for paradox to live, I think, is really important for us.
Well, it's an exciting national movement, and our local chapter, Sisters and Seekers. And maybe you want to just say when you meet every other Sunday night, when and where, and which would be the next meeting date?
Our next meeting will be Sunday evening, February the 17th, and we'll, excuse me, we will meet every other Sunday night after that, with very few exceptions. We meet at Dominican Center at Marywood, and while that might seem a little like confusing, why would a group that wants to be open meet at a place that's got a religious connotation connected with it? Because our spirituality center, the Grand Rapids Dominican Ministry of Dominican Center at Marywood, obviously is a ministry of my congregation. But we found very early on that all the millennials that come are comfortable in that atmosphere and have found that it's hospitable and open, and they've come there for other things. So we meet there almost all the time, but we also sometimes have socials and meet. And the millennials do wonderful things like have poetry gatherings and other things that they also gather for and invite us to include them. So that's wonderful. And we're really looking for anyone out there that has this deep hunger to come and try. Just, you'll be most welcome. And it might not fit you, but it just might. So, in fact, I think Sunday night we're going to talk about what we can do to not market per se, but how do we start inviting? Because Katie was connected with millennials through the interfaith work that she was doing, so the start was easy. But what's happening is people leave because they go off for their careers. And so we want to keep it going, because it definitely is a place of growth for everyone involved.
And you said it's at 5:30 on Sunday?
5:30 to 7.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Katie, do you want to give us the website if people want to just kind of read up and discover more?
Yeah, so to get a picture of what the larger Nuns and Nones movement is all about, our website is nunsandnones.org, N-U-N-S and N-O-N-E-S.org. And there are a lot of articles that have been written, a few videos about our work to give a light into that, and even a pilot residency that's happening right now in a community in Burlingame where five millennials are living in a convent and retreat center together with sisters, alongside sisters. So there's a lot of really amazing things happening across the country with nuns and nuns, and all of that is found on our website.
Well, it's been a great, great pleasure to talk with all three of you here today, Sister Barbara Hansen, Ellie Hutchinson, and Katie Gordon from the Nuns and Nuns Project. I also want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning into Your True North. Follow us on Facebook at Your True North Podcasts. Our producer is Sean O'Melia, and our editing and studio coordinator is Lauren Yentz. I'm your host, Cindy Camp. Please join us again for another conversation about values as a compass for life's journey.